Demonology album, tape number 3. Thank you for choosing to listen to a Sword of the Lord audio cassette tape. What you're about to hear is a lesson entitled The Origin and Character of Demons, Part 2, by Dr. Curtis Hudson. This lesson was recorded on April 21st, 1974, at Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. And now, Dr. Curtis Hudson.
3 weeks ago today, we began a study on demonology. In the first lesson, we found that demons are for real. In other words, demons are not a superstitious designation for some mental disorder or physical disease. Demons are for real. If you believe the Bible, you must believe that demons are for real, because time after time in the Bible, Jesus cast out demons. He gave his disciples power to cast out demons. He carried on conversation with demons within people. Demons spoke out of people, as in the case of the man. Jesus asked, "What's your name?" He said, "Legion," because we're many. Then the demons talk with Jesus and ask him if they may be allowed to go into a herd of swine that was feeding nearby and not be sent to the pit. And Jesus allowed it. These demons went in the herd of swine, and they ran down a steep place into the sea and choked themselves. And then, too, in the 19th chapter of Acts, a demon spoke out of a man and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Addressing himself to the seven sons of Sidi. Then the man had supernatural power, and one man overcame seven men and wounded them, tore their clothes off of them. We read that in Acts chapter 19. So, demons are for real, according to the Bible, and we believe the Bible. And then last Sunday, we began a study on the origin of demons. Where did demons come from? Did God create demons? Well, in a sense, God created demons, but He did not create them demons. They were created angels. And I shared with you last week two or three things that I'll review very briefly this morning, and then we'll get along with the next part of this lesson. Demons are not superstitious designations for certain normal disorders. Demons are spirits. And we saw that last week. God did not create demons. Just like God did not create a sinner, He created man in a state of innocency, and man became a sinner of his own choice. And then there are three views about demons. Last week I took the second one. I had a reason for that. And we discussed the thought, are demons the progeny of angels and antediluvian women? This week I want to take the first one. Are demons the disembodied spirits of a pre-Adamite race? And I hope you'll follow along with me in your Bible. So take your Bible, open it please, and we'll see what we can find out very quickly here. Number one. Some people teach that demons are the disembodied spirits of a pre-Adamite race. Anyone here familiar with Dr. Clarence Larkin's books, Dispensational Truth, The Spirit World, the Book of Revelation, the Book of Daniel? Anybody familiar with his writings? They're, most all fundamentalists are familiar with his writings, do a lot of studying. Well, Clarence Larkin says that they are the spirits, disembodied spirits of a pre-Adamite race. He uses verses like Genesis 1:28. Why don't we open that? Genesis 1:28. "And God blessed them," that's Adam and Eve, "and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth." Underline the word replenish here. Some say the word replenish means that there was a race of people on the earth before Adam. And something happened, and that race of people were destroyed. And now God has created Adam and Eve and told them to replenish the earth. But I'll use one verse. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And here you'll see, if you don't want to turn, make a note. Here you'll see the Bible says that Adam was the first man. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The first man, Adam. So there was no man before Adam. There was no men before Adam. I do not believe that there was a pre-Adamic race of people. But I do believe that there was a pre-Adamic creation. I believe that. The other night in training union, we discussed Satan, and I'm going to have to recap some of that this morning in order for you to follow along in this lesson. So turn with me now, please, to Isaiah chapter 14. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1 first. Back to Genesis chapter 1. Now, not everyone agrees with this. And some great fundamentalists do not agree with this. In fact, you have good Bible-believing fundamental people on both sides of the issue that I'm going to discuss right now. But I'm going to discuss it with you and let you come to your own conclusions about it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, watch it close. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, keep that in mind and turn now to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. All right, let's read Isaiah 45, 18. Page 754 if you have an old Schofield Bible. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. Now underline that expression. The earth, He made it, He created it. Now how did He create it? It says He created it not in vain. Continue reading, same verse. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. Two things about this verse that Isaiah says about the earth and its original creation. First, Isaiah said that God did not create the world or earth in vain. Secondly, he says that He created it to be inhabited. Two things. He didn't create it in vain or void or worthless waste, but He created it to be inhabited. Now go back to Genesis, please. Chapter 1 again. And verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now, just let me insert here, and I don't think I'll do any injustice of Scripture in doing this, what Isaiah said in Isaiah 45, 18. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He created it not in vain. He created it to be inhabited. Would you think that's an injustice? That's what the Bible says. When He created it, it wasn't in vain, but He created it to be inhabited. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, or it was vain. Now, if He created it not in vain, and here it says it was without form and void, or it was vain, you have a contradiction. And we know there are no contradictions in the Bible. The Bible is always true. If He did not create it in vain, but created it to be inhabited, as the Bible said in Isaiah 45, 18, then something had to happen between Genesis 1, 1 and Genesis 1, 2 to cause the earth to become without form and void, as it's found in verse 2. Now, when you teach this, some will accuse you of trying to make a loophole for scientists and others who say the earth is billions and billions of years old. Well, I'm not trying to make a loophole for anyone. I'm just trying to harmonize Isaiah 45, 18 with Genesis 1, 1 and 2. And I cannot harmonize it anyway except to come to the conclusion that in its original creation, the earth was not created without form and void, but it was created to be inhabited. And if it's without form and void in verse 2, then something had to happen. There is some belief, a space of time between Genesis 1, 1 and 1, 2. Could be millions of years, could be billions of years. Only God knows that. We do know that in the original creation, the earth was not without form and void. I don't have time to share this entire chart with you, but this is something I taught in a class here before when I was teaching the book of Revelation. The earth will actually pass through seven stages. You have the original earth, without form, the original earth, not in vain, to be inhabited. You have the chaotic earth that is found in verse 2 of Genesis. You have the Edenic earth as it is after God created man and renewed the face of the earth. You have the antediluvian earth, the earth as it was before the flood. You have the present earth, the earth as it is after the flood and now and will be until the millennium. You have the millennial earth, the earth as it will be during the millennium when the curse is lifted. And then you have the new earth, the earth as it will be in eternity after it has been made new, according to Revelation chapter 22. Turn with me, please, to Psalms chapter 104, verse 30. Psalm 104, verse 30. And I hope you'll keep the Genesis passage marked, first chapter there. And now in Psalm 104, verse 30, that's page 650. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou, underline the next word, renewest the face of the earth. Now that means exactly what it says. It means it was renewed. It was renewed, just like doing it all over again. Now, keep this verse in mind, and let me quote Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, what does it say in Psalm 104, verse 30? Thou sendest forth thy Spirit, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And they are and thou renewest the face of the earth. So Psalm 104, verse 30, makes it sound like that what's happening in Genesis 1, 2 is a renewing of the face of the earth. It's making it back like it was before it became the chaos that is found in verse 2. So, let me sum up what I've said so far, and then we'll move along a little further. I do not believe that there was a pre-Adamite man. Number one, the Scripture says nothing about a pre-Adamite man. Number two, the Scripture says plainly that Adam was the first man. Two, I do believe there was a pre-Adamite creation, and it was a perfect creation. The world was created not in vain, but created to be inhabited, which to me is an indication that it was inhabited. Because in verse 2, it is not in a condition to be inhabited. So I believe it was inhabited, but was not inhabited by men, but rather was inhabited by angels. Now turn with me to Psalm, to Job, book of Job, chapter 38. The book of Job, chapter 38. That's on page 594 if you have an old Scofield Bible. Now let's begin with verse 1. And God speaking to Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Now catch it. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? God's asking Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? He's talking here about the creation of the earth now. Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures of it? Who measured the earth, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? He's talking about the creation of the earth. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Still talking about the creation of the earth. What's it hanging on? Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together. Now, when God created the earth, Adam wasn't created. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Later on in chapter 1, he creates man and tells him to multiply and replenish the earth. But here are some beings called the morning stars who sang together when God created the earth and hung it on nothing. It says here that when he did all this, the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. There were beings referred to as the morning stars and the sons of God who were in existence when the worlds were created, and they actually shouted for joy when God created the earth. That could not be man, because man wasn't created until later on in chapter 1 after the earth was created. Right or wrong? All right, let me sum up again. I do not believe there was a pre-Adamite man. The Bible says there was not. I do believe there was a pre-Adamite creation. I believe there was beings previous to Adam. There were beings in existence when God created the earth. They're called here the morning stars, the sons of God. Now, if you were with us last Sunday morning, we found out that the sons of God has reference to the angels, because there were no men in those times. Now, don't misunderstand me. The sons of God in the New Testament has reference to those who are born again by faith in Jesus. But in the Old Testament, the sons of God has reference to the angels, as we saw last week from Job 1, Job 2, and Job chapter 38. They are called God's sons by creation. They are God's sons by creation, in that they had no father. Angels do not reproduce. There's no need for angels to multiply and reproduce. The reason there's no reason for it is there's the same number of angels today that there's always been. There's not one less nor one more. They never die. The Bible tells us we'll be as the angels of God in heaven, never dying, living forever and ever and ever. Okay, now turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And let me give you just two or three verses while you're turning to Isaiah 14. Matthew 25, the last verse, says the hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. All right? There is a devil. He has angels. Did God one day say, all right, I'm going to create a devil and create him some angels? No, God did not create the devil. He created an angel of light who is described in Ezekiel 28. We studied that in training the other night. And he was one of the three angels who are named Lucifer. And God gave him a very prominent position. He had the duty of guarding the very throne of God. At one time, Satan was not what he is today. God created him an angel, just like the other angels. He was one of the three angels named in the Bible. And now Satan has his angels. Where did his angels come from? Did he create them himself? No, he does not have the power to create. Where did he get his angels? He's called the prince of the powers of the air. He has a very highly organized kingdom. It says if Satan's kingdom be divided, it cannot stand. He has a kingdom. He's a prince of the powers of the air. He's called the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's called the prince of this world. He has angels. Where did they come from? All right, let's read Isaiah 14. I think we'll get some insight. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. All right? Satan had a throne. It says here, he said, I'm going to exalt my throne. Above the stars of God, I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, speaking of God. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Now, let me sum up these two or three verses here. Lucifer, who became Satan, had a throne. If he had a throne, he had some sort of a kingdom. He had beings that he ruled over. The Bible does not say in clear language that Satan ruled over angels. But I think, honestly, that in the original earth, as is found in Genesis 1:1, that Satan ruled on this earth and had a throne and had certain angels under his charge. The reason I think he's on this earth is based on this passage, because in this passage it says he had a throne, right? It says on this passage, in this same passage, I will ascend to the sides of the north. Verse 14 says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now, where would you be if you were to ascend above the height of the clouds? You'd have to be underneath the clouds if you were going to go up above the clouds. So I maintain that Satan had a throne on the original earth, as is found in Genesis 1:1, and that he had angels under him because he had a throne, he ruled, and he was not satisfied to rule under God. But he said, I am going to be like the Most High. That has been Satan's ambition all along. During the tribulation period, Satan will sit in the temple of God that's to be rebuilt on its old foundations and the Holy Land, Old Jerusalem. Satan will sit in that temple declaring himself to be God and will say, everybody must bow down and worship me, and everyone who does not worship me will be beheaded. We studied that if you were here when we studied the book of Revelation. All right, even back here, Satan is wanting to put himself above God. I'm going to be like God. Notice here at least five I wills. Let's begin reading it. For thou hast said, verse 13, in thine heart I will ascend into heaven. One, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Two, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. Three, verse 14, I will ascend above the height of the clouds. Four, I will be like the Most High. Five, I will, I will, I will, I will. And as a result of this, Satan, who was created an angel and given special command to guard the throne of God, as a result of his rebellion, saying, I'm going to put my throne above the stars of God, as a result of that, he became what is now known the devil. But where did his angels come from? I maintain that his angels were those that he led in this rebellion on the original earth. That he took the angels he was ruling over and said, all right, We're gonna take over. We'll be like God. We'll take over. And so he led these angels in a rebellion against God, and when Satan fell, became the devil, the angels who rebelled with him became his angels. So now you have what is known Satan as Satan and his angels, and the last verse of Matthew chapter 25. Now, I do not have a verse that says this. I'm just giving you the scriptures that seem to indicate this. Some do not believe this, and that's all right. I personally do believe this. Jeremiah, please, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4. And that's to the right just a little bit, not too far. Verse 23. And I hope that you still have these verses in your mind, a good picture of them. Jeremiah 4, verse 23. Now, watch it. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. Underline that, because only one other time you'll find that expression in the Bible. And that's in Genesis 1, 2. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, verse 1, and the earth was without form and void, Genesis 1, 2. This is the only other time you find that expression in the Bible. If Jeremiah beheld the earth when it was out form and void, when did he behold the earth? You see, God can let men look back and write about things that happened before they were born, as well as he can allow a man like Daniel to write 2,500 years of history before it ever takes place and describe the rise and fall of five world empires and the division of the Roman Empire. How did Moses write the Pentateuch, recording the account of the creation when he wasn't there? God allowed him to do it. The Holy Spirit inspired him. He actually was given the words by God to write. And if we believe in verbal inspiration, and we do, and if you don't, you're not a fundamentalist. If you believe in verbal inspiration, you must believe that even these words here were given to Jeremiah of God, and all the Bibles of God's Word. And if Jeremiah said in verse 23, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, he had to see it as it was in Genesis 1, 2, before the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep and the face of the earth was renewed. Psalm 104, verse 30. Right? Continue reading. And the heavens, and they had no light. Again, Genesis 1, 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Genesis 1, 2. What did Jeremiah say? I beheld the earth, it was without form and void, and they had no light. Same thing as it says in Genesis 1, 2. He had to see it as it was in Genesis 1, 2. Continue reading. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled. Something happened. An earthquake, some sort of a convulsion. And they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. A-double-L, all the hills. The hills began to move around like they were alive. And the mountains trembled. Keep reading. Verse 25. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. I don't believe there were any men before Adam. I don't believe in this caveman business. I don't care what you say. You say, I believe in cavemen. All right. You know more about your ancestors than I do. You know the business of once I was a tadpole long and thin, then I was a bullfrog with my tail tucked in, then I was a monkey hanging from a tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. You know? I don't buy that monkey tail. Jeremiah said, I look back, Genesis 1, 2, the earth was without form and void, it was dark, had no light, and he said that something happened. The mountains began to tremble, the hills, all the hills began to move lightly, but he said there was no man. No man back there in Genesis 1, 1 and 2. No man in that original creation. Keep reading. And all the birds of the heaven fled. I ask a question. I'm not making a statement. Was there animals? What about this business? They said dinosaur bones are so old. There was no man, but the implication seems to be here. There were birds, and they fled when this great convulsion took place. I'm not saying there was. I'm asking you. I'm just saying here, it says the birds of heaven fled. I don't know, you know. It's pretty hard for me to conceive birds fleeing if no birds are there. Keep reading. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. Genesis 1:1, the original creation was without form and void. Was not created in vain, but was created to be inhabited. But something happened, and the fruitful place became a wilderness, Jeremiah said. Keep reading. And all the cities, no men, but birds and cities, All the cities there were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. You get that? God became very angry. And all the cities were broken down by the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. God said, I'm angry. I'm angry. And God became so angry that he shook the earth, and the mountains trembled, and all the little hills moved lightly, and the birds fled, and all the cities were torn down, and the fruitful place became a wilderness. What made God so angry? Satan, under God, said, I'm going to exalt my throne above God's throne. I'm going to be like God himself. I'm going to take over. And it made God angry. And God said, all right, you're on the earth. You have a throne, and angels are under you, but you're not going to put yourself above me. And God became so angry that he took the original creation, which was a cosmos, and he made a chaos out of it. He shook it until the earth had convulsions, and the cities were torn down. Don't look at me like a bullfrog in a hailstorm. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. Turn back to Isaiah 14. Continue reading, this time in Isaiah 14, just where we were. We have about 3 or 4 minutes to sum this up. What did Satan say? Verse 14 of Isaiah 14. Satan said, I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now keep on reading. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? What did Jeremiah say? The mountains tremble, the little hills move lightly. Are you the guy, Satan, are you the guy that's the cause of the earth trembling? Keep reading. Verse 17, that made the world as a wilderness. What did Jeremiah say? The fruitful place became a wilderness. God became very angry and shook the earth, and the fruitful place became a wilderness. And the mountains tremble, and all the little hills move lightly. Don't you see how this ties together? When Satan said, I'm going to put my throne above God's throne, God said, I'm going to cast you down to hell. And then he said, they that look upon thee shall consider thee, saying, is, are you the fellow that made the earth to tremble? Actually, Satan didn't make the earth to tremble in the sense of taking himself. But what Satan did was the cause of the earth trembling, and that it made God very angry. And God shook the earth and made the earth to tremble. It was Satan's action, trying to be like God, trying to go above God, that made the world a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof. What did Jeremiah say? And all the cities were torn down. See, just back and forth, back and forth. Cities torn down. You the fellow that caused the cities to be torn down. The earth trembled. You the fellow that caused the earth to tremble. The fruitful place became a wilderness. You the fellow that made the world a wilderness. I maintain that in Genesis 1:1, in the original creation, Satan ruled on a throne over angels, but was not satisfied to rule under God, said, I'll put my throne above God's throne, and it made God very angry. And God shook the world and caused a fruitful place to become a wilderness. And the earth, as is found in Genesis 1:2, is a result of what God did for the earth in his anger because of what Satan said he would do. Now, let me sum up what I've said real quickly because we've got to hurry. We've got a lot to do here this morning. I do not believe there was men before Adam. I do believe there was a pre-Adamic creation, that the pre-Adamic creation were angels over which Satan reigned, and the original earth, which was not created in vain but created to be inhabited, Isaiah 45:18. I believe that Satan, like the Bible says, was not satisfied to rule under God and attempted to put his throne above God's throne, and God caused the earth to have convulsions in his fierce anger. He shook that original creation, and it became the chaos that is found in verse 2. And that the angels that Satan ruled over, he led with him in his rebellion. And that those angels that rebel with Satan became Satan's angels, because God didn't create a group of angels and say, all right, Satan, here's your angels. But the angels were free moral agents like you are and could choose, and they chose to go with Satan. As a result, Satan has angels, and that God cast him down to the heaven, which, by the way, is the first heaven, the atmospheric heavens, not the stratospheric heavens where the stars or planets are, but the atmospheric heavens. And that Satan is a prince of the powers of the air, and the powers are the angels that rebel with Satan and fell with Satan. And that those angels are demons. They are the demons that we're going to be studying about.
Please advance the tape to the end of side one. before listening to Side 2.